Can we just say out loud together, yes, Lord? Can we just say that? Yes, Lord. Can you say that out loud?
Yes,
yes, Lord. Yeah, it's just important to communicate verbally what we're feeling in our heart. And certainly, all of God's promises are yes. And that's part of what we've been talking about over the last several weeks. Also, I just want to encourage you to just take a moment and give the person next to you a high five and just tell them they're looking really young today. Just go ahead and do that. Looking really young today. You're looking young, Neil. Well, that's important to hear, isn't it, sometimes for some of us? I'm going to put a passage or a verse on the screen that you might not be real familiar with. And it's Joshua 13:1, and it says this. When Joshua had grown old, the Lord said to him, "You are now very old." And there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. Now, I don't know about you, but when my kids look at me and say, "Dad, you're really old," I understand that age is relative, right? I mean, like kids, you know, look at adults and they say, "You're really old." I mean, it wasn't that long ago that I thought those in their 50s and 60s were really old. As I get closer and closer, and I'm getting really close, I'm thinking 50s and 60s, that's really young. I mean, it's not old at all. And so age is relative, right? Age is relative. But when you're having a conversation with God, the Lord of all the earth, and he says to you, "Hey, man, you're getting kind of old." Wow. Wow. I mean, coming from him? Seriously? So God is interacting with this guy named Joshua, and Joshua is in his later years, and as he's having this conversation with Joshua, he says, "Joshua, dude, you're getting kind of old." And after Joshua kind of takes it all in, there's something that follows that's way more encouraging than the statement from God, "You're getting very old," and that is, "You still have territory, Joshua, to take. I still have an assignment for you to step into. I'm not done with you. You still have a plan and a purpose in this life. And I want to work through you to accomplish this plan and purpose. There's still work to be done." And so the theme for today's message is this. I'm just going to give it to you up front. It's no matter how old you are, God still has territory for you to take. And you have something still to contribute in his kingdom. I mean, is this good news? Someone say amen. 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 Don't ever give up on your dreams. Don't ever give up on the promises that you know God has given you, even if you haven't seen them fulfilled yet. Don't ever give up on the territory that you know God wants you to take, but it still hasn't been taken. We're in the series called Taking Territory. What's the theme of this 8-part series? It's this, that God has made promises to us. He's made promises to us in his word in 3 different areas: personal promises, family promises, and promises for our church. And as he's made these promises to us, we can't sit idly, passively by and just expect to receive all of these promises. It doesn't work that way. We have internal and external resistors that prevent us from actually experiencing the fullness of all that God has promised us. And so we actually need to take steps of faith, and we need to do battle, and we need to take the territory that God has promised us in all of these areas. And for many of us, this isn't easy. And for most of us, it isn't easy. I gave a living example a couple of weeks ago in the family realm. I know God's word tells me and my wife that if we put Jesus at the center of our relationship and our family, that God will bless our family and he'll use our family and we'll be unified and we'll follow after God. I know the promises. I could read them for you in scripture. I did a couple weeks ago. But the enemy had a plan and he always has a strategy. And while God's always at work, we know that Satan is always at work as well. And he has plans for our lives. And Satan tried to steal the promises away from me and my family, whispering lies to one of my daughters about me. And it caused relationship breakdown for 4 or 5 years. And my daughter, who's now a senior in high school, together 2 weeks ago, we were up here and we gave you a glimpse into the struggle that we have had, and how we both and our whole family had to fight battles to take the territory of a healthy relationship and a healthy family. And it was incredibly difficult, and we were super vulnerable with you. Ways in which Satan tried to defeat us and how we fought to take that territory. And I've preached a lot of sermons over the years, and I would say there's a handful of messages that many people will never forget. And I think from all the feedback I've gotten over the last couple of weeks, and it's been a lot, that message 2 weeks ago was probably one of them. And if you weren't here a couple weeks ago or you didn't hear that message, you can get all of our messages online, or we have a Grace Gathering app. It's a free app. You can listen to all the messages right on your phone, on your app. And so I would encourage you to do that. But the book of Joshua is about promises God made in the Old Testament about specific land that he was giving his people, and how they weren't just going to inherit the land by just sitting passively by. They actually had to go into battle to take the territory that God had promised. And so we've been looking at that over the last few weeks. Last week, Scott Jester gave message number 4 in this series and looked at 2 battles that had very different results. One battle that, from a human perspective, it looked like there's no way they were going to take that territory, and God gave it to them, the Battle of Jericho. Another battle that, from a human perspective, it seemed very, very doable. Of course, they can take that part, and yet they were defeated because they tried to do it in their own strength, the Battle of Ai. And so we gleaned some principles from Joshua 7 and 8, and the ways in which we need to do battle, not doing battle in the human realm, but doing battle in the spirit realm. That's the only way we're going to take the territory that God has given us, that God has promised us. And we've talked about 4 different ways that we take spiritual territory, 4 different strategic ways that we receive the promises that God has given us. Number 1 is that faith that God will fulfill promise in his timing. We actually have to believe the promises. Even if it's taken a long time, we have to continue to believe. It's his timing, not ours. Number 2, we have to resist the world's values, because that can rob us of the fulfillment of the promises, or the enticement of the flesh, or the lies of the enemy. And so we have to resist those areas that try to steal the promises. Or number 3, we have to be willing and vulnerable to allow people to come in to help us. We can't fight the battles ourselves. We have to rely on others in community. And the last one is that we have to submit and to surrender to God in prayer. And it took the Israelites about 7 years to battle for the land. And they had to follow those spiritual principles in order to take the physical land that God had promised. Many successes, some failures along the way. But I want to remind you back in the days of Moses, when God brought them out of Egypt and was ready to give that generation the land that he promised, Moses sent 12 men into the land to scope out the land, to evaluate how difficult the process would be. And as the 12 came back, they gave a report to Moses, and 10 of them said, no, there's giants there, it's way more fortified, there's no way that we could take that land, humanly speaking. I don't care what God has said, we're not taking that land. Humanly, it's impossible. Two individuals said, I don't care how it looks from a human perspective, if God has made that promise to us, even though it doesn't seem like it could ever happen, it will happen, and we need to take the territory. The two individuals that came back and said that were Joshua and Caleb. Now, there are many people in this room who've been battling for years and years and years and decades for promises for you personally or for your family or for our church. And you have yet to see the fulfillment or the full experience of those promises. And some of us have given up. And others of us are tempted to give up. And during this time, when Moses was interacting with the 12, he looked at Joshua and Caleb. He said, I will tell you what, both of you will actually inherit the land. And both of them did. Now, at the time, they were about 40 years old, Joshua and Caleb. The people listened to the 10, and they didn't experience the promise that God made to them on the land. That generation, for 40 years, wandered in the wilderness and died off until the new emerging generation came and said, we believe, even though humanly speaking it doesn't seem it's going to happen, we believe that it will happen, and in faith we can take the land. And Caleb knew that because he believed God's promise of the land, he knew one day he would inherit that portion. The challenge is that he just thought, as Moses said to him at 40 years old, he thought, okay, well, yeah, maybe it'll take a year or two, but I will receive it. And I wonder what Caleb and Joshua were thinking year 10, when they still hadn't inherited the land, or what about what they thought in year 20 or year 30? Some of us have been praying for things for 30 years, and it still hasn't happened yet. Maybe it's praying for the salvation of a family member. Maybe it's praying for healing physically. Maybe it's praying for another area of relationship. Maybe it's praying for an area of peace in your life, or you're wanting fear to be removed. These are promises that God has made. You're just not experiencing them. And you've been praying and praying and waiting and waiting. And some of us are tempted to give up. Well, we come to chapter 14. If you have a Bible, I want to encourage you to go to Joshua chapter 14. We come to Joshua chapter 14, and Joshua chapter 14 is 45 years later. Caleb, who was 40 years old when the promises were made that he would inherit the land, is now 85 years old. And he hasn't given up. And so we read Joshua chapter 14. Caleb's at the last phase of his life at 85, and he sees the fulfillment of the promise. So let's go to Joshua 14. We'll begin at verse 6. It says this, now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. Caleb's saying this to Joshua. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked, as I walked through that land with giants in the land, knowing it, humanly speaking, wasn't possible. The very place I walked, Moses said, that will be your inheritance for you and your family. It's a family promise. It's a personal promise, but it's also a family promise. Because you followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I love that. I want all of you guys, when you're 85, to be able to say that. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. We're still in battle. Now, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that then at the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. What a story of faith. What a story of faith from Caleb, and what a story of faithfulness from God. After 45 years, I wonder how many in the room here today have prayed or have battled to receive a promise, and it's been at least 45 years that you've been battling and praying. My guess is that there are several in the room where that's true. If you feel like giving up because your prayers haven't been answered, or if you feel like you're too old to take new territory, maybe in your own life or in the lives of others, I want to encourage you this morning. Take note of Caleb at 85. I've asked some of my friends to come up on stage with me this morning. I'm going to ask them to go ahead and do that now. Come on up, guys. Come on up. We are excited that you're going to join me up here this morning. Let me remind you of today's theme. It says this, no matter how old you are, God still has territory for you to take, and you still have something to contribute in his kingdom. I've asked some of my friends to come up who, like Caleb, in their later years, these folks haven't given up, and God still has territory for them to take, and they're going to spend a few moments sharing some of the ways that they're still fighting, they're still battling, they're still engaged, and I know each of them very, very well, and so I'm really honored that they're up here willing to share some of the ways that they're trying to take territory. So this is Terry.
Good morning. I'm Terry Lash. I've been a member of the church for about 25 years. With my first 50 years living in the world, my last 25 in Christ, My self-centered desires have been a long process for me that I struggle with today. And however, my dying to self is a battle that I've embraced as I walk with Christ. Reading, studying God's word, encouraging friends and family have been vital in my growth every day. About a year ago, I decided, and my thoughts, I don't know, God put them there, I know, to ask him what I could do for him in the morning to glorify him. And he's given me opportunities to do that through the hospital, through just being there for people to pray with them, to be encouraging to others as people have encouraged me. Encouraging friends have been vital, and my family and my prayer life. One opportunity that I had was visiting a young man in the hospital who was homeless, and he was dying, and we were asked to come and pray with him. One of the hardest things was about that is that he refused treatment, and he ended up passing away. Why we were there for that short time, I don't know, but God was glorified through that, and I was just encouraged that to go where he wants you to go and he sends you. I believe opportunities have always been there for me, but my desires weren't there to see him and to act on him. We can experience his grace and faithfulness when we trust him. When my desires became less, his desires became more.
Amen. Thank you so much, Terry. Yeah. I had an opportunity to meet with Terry and a few other ladies here in recent weeks for lunch, and they just shared their hearts and their desire to be used by God. And Terry said, I want to be used. And so just recently she said, I want to be in the a part of the pastoral team that helps just minister to people, pray for people. And that's part of what she just shared as well. So just really, really encouraged by Terry and really thankful for her. Fieldy, you're on, bro. I'm not going to reveal everyone's age, but Fieldy's 82, young. And he has been a man of God for a very long time.
I am not as strong as I was at 40, I'll tell you.
Come on, Fieldy.
Well, the Lord has been with me as closed doors and before he opens doors for new territory to take. In 2013, I had a stroke. First time I've been in the hospital as a patient since I was 6 years old, when I had my tonsils out. But the big problem for me was that my throat, I couldn't swallow. And finally, about 3 months later, I finally got it that I could eat. I couldn't sing. Now, music has been a big part of my life. I've sung in the in college and in choruses. I've been a song leader. I've been a choir director. And after I retired in 1999, I decided that I wanted to get into more of the a cappella type with the choruses, the barbershop choruses. So I was in a barbershop quartet, a barbershop chorus. But after I had my struggle, I couldn't sing. You'll see me moving my lips over here, but I'm not singing. I can't stand myself singing. But so I said, Lord, okay, you've shut that door. What are you going to give me? And I felt that he was giving me an expanded prayer ministry at home. So So I've been expanding that. And then this June I had a triple bypass operation, and that was, I was on a very restricted in what I could do. Well, I couldn't lift over 5 pounds, you know, things like that. And I was in rehab for 20 days in rehab. And I was thinking, I just don't feel like I can, I've got energy enough to do anything until next year. As it happened, I lead a Bible, men's Bible study. We study an Old Testament book in the fall and a New Testament book in the spring. So I said, I'm going to skip this one in the spring, or rather the fall, because I just don't feel like it. And so the Lord said, you're just a lazy wimp. Get out. So it's, you prepare to teach, and I'll give you the strength. So we're halfway through Mount Malachi now. And so I guess I'll continue in leading the Bible study. So every morning when I have my devotion, I say, Lord, I'm reporting for duty. What lead me to tell me something, what you want me to do? Let me be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And he leads me. And so far, I haven't gotten any new assignments, but it's exciting every day because that might be the day I get my new assignment. But there's a lot of territory out there to conquer, and I'm going to do it.
Amen. Thank you, Fieldy.
I'm Joe Willer, and God has clearly given me the assignment of coming alongside others in the areas of counseling, coping with grief, and in the areas of helping lead a missional community for those who are in the hospital going through some tough times. And I say that because through these opportunities that he's given me, I'm able to turn the losses of my husband by suicide, my son by car accident, and my granddaughter by illness into good. And that's the promise that I fight for through my ministry. And as I approach my later years, just saying 70 is looking really close. Chris talks about his. I'm just going to continue to fight for the kingdom. And I know it's a part of the spiritual territory that God wants me to take. And while it's not always easy, and I'm sometimes reluctant and saying, really, God? I know that he will continue to use me if I make myself available to him. And if I'm faithful to him and listen to him. And so that's what I'm trying to do. And when I was confirmed back in 1963, my confirmation verse was, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And he has lived that out, and I always laugh with God because he certainly knew I was a person who had to understand everything, and he clearly says, you're not going to understand, but trust me anyhow. And so that's the territory that I continue to try to take.
Joe, just so you know, Joe does meet with a lot of people in areas of encouragement, counseling. And so if you do need someone to talk with, seek Joe out. She's a very godly woman, and she's very involved and very wise. And not only does she lead other ministries and so forth, but she's very interested in meeting with people on a regular basis. So really appreciate you, Joe. Thank you. Sherry.
My name is Sherry Ganzak, and I have been very blessed in my life to have been at this church since my teen years in the 70s. And I have been under solid biblical teaching all of these years. That is such a blessing. But only in the last maybe 2 years or less, I've been able to process from my head and my knowledge down to my heart. And it has been it has taken hold of the things that have been hindering me in my life. And some of those things are moving past fear of many things. I am recognizing quicker and more clearly Satan's lies, especially about who I am, and those things held me down. And the biggest truth that I am pressing into is the deep love of Jesus for me personally. I needed a better balance between the holiness of God and the love of God in my life. And I thought I understood how much he loved me, but yet somehow, you know, Satan kept telling me what a failure I was and just continually bringing up all my shortcomings. And I felt like I was always very disappointing to God. Comprehending and experiencing his intimacy with me has changed my time with him, the value of that time, and my worship experience with him. Also, territories that are I'm pressing into, and I am just really living for the hope of my son's salvation, my oldest son. That's on both of our hearts so heavily. And then also the territory of my grandchildren, and I think all of you grandparents understand that. The world that they're growing up in, they need our support of prayer and of leadership in their lives.
Amen.
Well, I'm Stan Ganzak. One place of taking territory would be what all of us Christians are going to receive by being obedient, and that's heaven. And I'm going to show you some similarities because I have a real passion for gardening, like many of you know me. And so I put some similarities between gardening and our Christian life. And it says, life is like gardening. See, I have a passion for vegetable gardening. You have to prepare the ground and plant the seeds. The ground is friends, workplace, and family in real life. To be an example, live your life like a Christian and tell them about the love of God and what Jesus did for them. You know, back to the garden, once your seeds germinate, you need to water and feed them, the vegetable plants. And this is where Satan attacks really begin. As soon as Satan sees that you're producing Christians by being obedient and being led by the Holy Spirit, get ready for battle. Like my vegetable plants, one day they're growing, looking good, and the attacks begin. Drought, flooding, disease, Japanese beetles, squash bugs, cabbage worms, and 100 other bugs attacking. You see all your hard work and effort just being destroyed. See, we need to keep our eyes on the harvest, building up the kingdom of God. When you ask God to use you by taking territory on the lost souls in your family, friends, and workplace, be prepared to win. By praying, seeking strength and wisdom through the Word of God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you, it's a great feeling seeing the rewards of our labor and experiencing God's miracles. So don't quit. Don't let Satan's roadblocks of discouragement, illness, and 100 other things set you back. One day, you will be in heaven, and the greatest words you will ever hear is, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
Thank you, Stan and Sherry. Stan and Sherry have an amazing story to tell about something that happened to them earlier this year that they believe they actually engaged with angels. And we're not going to tell that story this morning, but we are going to tell that story here soon. And it's absolutely incredible what they experience. And I can't wait for the opportunity that we're going to hear as a congregation of what happened to them this year. This is Jim. Jim, I had no idea if Jim would be here this morning. He knew he would be here this morning. Jim had surgery Friday morning. He had a very large mass on his neck. They removed the mass from his neck. They removed some other masses on the other side of his neck. They removed his thyroid. We prayed for him as a staff on Thursday morning, and we said, you know, Jim, that's okay if you don't make it on Sunday. If you know you're still not feeling well, I said, no, I'll make it Sunday. And we're like, okay, well, let's pray for that. And here he is. So we're very, very grateful that Jim's here this morning.
Well, I'm going to start by again from like I did at the first service. I want to thank everyone who prayed for me, Chris and all of them Thursday before I went in. And this is not the first time that I've had prayer and I've come out pretty good. So, also I'm going to change my talk up a little bit from the first service. But I want to get started. I happened to call my sister, who lives in Southern Indiana, down by Evansville. She's 80 years old. I don't see her much. But we got to talking and on the phone, and there was something said about my dad. Well, my dad was superintendent of Sunday school. He was a deacon. He sang in the choir. He did everything at the church. But I asked her, I said, I got one question. She said, what's that? I said, did you ever hear Dad ever say he loved us? And she said, no. And she started crying. So I've got some family members here. It's pretty close. I had more in the first service, but I got four of them here right now, and I'd like for all four of them to stand up. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Megan, Sierra, Adam, and Ellie is in the back, that you're going to hear this from me. I've never said it, but I'm going to tell you right now that I love you all. I've never said it. I was never raised that way. That is one thing that I don't want to be like my dad more. I just didn't. But if there's another thing I just want to say, if there's anybody out here that I have offended or anything, I want to tell you right now, I want forgiveness, and I do love you too. So I'll just leave it at that right there. Thank you. Amen.
Jim had something happen to him a few weeks ago that is truly miraculous, and you're going to hear what happened to him coming soon, and we're not going to share it this morning, but we don't have time, but it is absolutely amazing what happened to him a few weeks ago, and it's going to encourage your faith a lot, and so you're going to be hearing that real soon, so we're looking forward to hearing that, but thank you so much, Jim. For sharing. You know, we talk a lot here at Grace Gathering about the importance of reaching the younger generation. It's a clear focus for us as a church. And what I mean by younger generation, I mean kids, teenagers, and young adults. The need for the church to put the younger generation at the center of the church as leaders in the church, not on the edges. And we get a lot of feedback and a lot of communication from other churches. Help us as a church know how to reach the younger generation because we're getting older and older. We're not reaching the younger generation. And so we're very, very thankful that God has allowed our church to reach the younger generation. And we are indeed reaching the younger generation in many, many ways. And the thing is, when a church reaches the younger generation, everybody's happy. And I'll tell you why everybody's happy. Parents are happy because their kids are being reached. Grandparents are happy because their grandkids are being reached. And great-grandparents, the oldest generation of the church, are happy because their great-grandkids are being reached. And so we are so grateful and thankful for the ways in which we're reaching the younger generation. But let's make no mistake that as we have a clear focus on reaching the younger generation, we know that God has the older generation very involved in everything in the church, not sidelined, not marginalized, but actually very involved. And what you've just heard this morning is the ways in which the older generation is still taking territory. And God intends for the church to be intergenerational. And that's exactly what's happening. And so we're incredibly thankful for the wisdom of the older generation and the ways they haven't given up and they're still fighting. And I just want to say thank you to all of them and many in the room here this morning who are a part of that older generation that are still vigorous and strong and still battling. So I just want to pray for them as we close our service this morning. So Lord, thank you so much for these testimonies. Lord, thank you for the example of Caleb at 85 years old who'd waited 45 years to inherit the promise that you made to him. And we know that there are many of us that are still doing battle, that still haven't seen the fulfillment of the promises that you've made. We know in the end, in the new heaven and the new earth, every promise will be fulfilled completely. We know all the promises are ours. And in the new heaven and the new earth, we'll get them all completely and eternally. But until then, Lord, you tell us and you teach us to fight for the promises here in this life, that we can have glimpses of the life to come by experiencing your fullness and your love and the promises that you've made to us here and now. And I thank you that we have this generation who's still battling strong, who haven't given up. And I pray you continue to encourage them and bless them as they are a blessing to all of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give them one more round of applause? Thanks, guys.